This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Coming up later this hour, Howard will be talking with former Enquirer editor Tom Callanan about his program called Charitable Words. Nan Whaley was elected to be Dayton, Ohio's next mayor last month. Originally from Indiana, Whaley attended the University of Dayton and has lived in Dayton ever since. She joins us on the phone to talk about her plans as mayor. You can join our conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. And Mayor-elect Whaley, thanks for joining us on Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
I thought a good place to start, I cover Cincinnati City Hall for WVXU, and I know yes. Here in Cincinnati we have a city manager form of government with a strong mayor who's elected to a four-year term and nine-member city council, all of whom now serve four-year terms. I just thought maybe you could perhaps outline the governmental structure in Dayton. How do things work in Dayton compared to Cincinnati?
Sure. It's a council manager form of government, so a little bit similar, but there's some differences. We have four city commissioners who run citywide and the mayor, so five total. The mayor runs the council meetings, or we call them commission meetings in Dayton. And then we appoint the city manager here, who has actually, I think, been on your show before, City Manager Tim Reardon, who worked for a while in the city of Cincinnati as well.
And this is Howard Wilkinson. I grew up in Dayton. Dayton's my hometown, so I have a...
Oh, great. Where'd you grow up?
Well, on Purcell Avenue. Went to Cleveland Elementary School and Belmont High School. And I was thinking about, you know, back growing up in the 60s in Dayton, in our neighborhood, just about everybody worked in one of three places, Wright Patterson, NCR, or Frigidaire. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, NCR is long gone. Frigidaire is long gone. Manufacturing base has changed considerably. Mm-hmm. Is manufacturing coming back, making a comeback in Dayton, or is the economy there shifted so much that you have to find new ways of putting people to work?
Well, you know, it's true. You know, from I think the height of Dayton's economy was probably right around 1972, and I think some people here in Dayton talk about how it was really for in the world, it was one of the third wealthiest places in the world just because of the middle class that really came out of, you know, the companies you talked about and others. And there's definitely stories of, you know, you could quit a job one morning and get a job somewhere else in the afternoon, and I don't think anywhere is like that now. And so we have really transferred a lot to a lot of healthcare and education, and obviously the base is still the largest single site employer in the state of Ohio, and that's a key part for us. But that also does still drive manufacturing, and so we've had a challenge here, you know, because when Delphi, which was really the probably the hardest part for our community, that happened during the Great Recession when Delphi left. Mm. You know, which was, you know, in the Dayton area, we held more Delphi employees than any other place in the country besides Kokomo, Indiana. That was hard because people wanted to turn their backs on manufacturing, and it's still around 18% of our economy. So we've worked hard to really advocate and talk to our workforce about how you can have a decent job in manufacturing, and the kind of skills you need are different, that it's not your father's factory anymore. And so we've been working on that. I think we still have a lot of great opportunity, especially because of the technology that comes from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and the University of Dayton, as well as Wright State. We do a lot of aviation research here, and there's a lot of opportunity to manufacture that as well as with plastics and some of the additive manufacturing that's going on. So we are seeing a different kind of resurgence in manufacturing now. And, you know, when I was on the campaign trail, I talked a lot about how, you know, we make things in Dayton, you know, and that's really one of the key things about our community and culture. And so embracing that and being proud of that is, I think, something really important to Dayton's future.
Well, I know one of the things you said during the campaign was that you have to recognize that a Fortune 500 company is more likely to be grown in Dayton than to move to Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit about what you meant by that.
Sure. You know, we found this, you know, they call it a hunting. When I was at the mayor's transition for mayors up at in Boston last week. They called it, they used to hunt for elephants. You know, you'd hunt for this really big Fortune 500 company to move in and solve all your woes. And you just don't see that much anymore. And what we're seeing now is, you know, using the assets you have in a community, like Wright-Patterson, our education systems and universities, to really use them to leverage, you know, entrepreneurship and grow jobs. And we've seen that in data. One example that doesn't have to do with manufacturing is actually CareSource. You know, CareSource started, it's one of the largest, you know, managed insurance companies in the country. It started in the back of Miami Valley Hospital and, you know, is now employing thousands of people in our downtown. You know, obviously with Medicaid expansion and that work, there's more work for them because that's the work they do. And we've seen tremendous growth by that just because they've had that entrepreneurship, you know, spirit. And they use something that we had an asset of and invested in. So that's a really good example of how we see our companies changing and growing them from within.
You know, one of the things about Dayton that's changed over the years, since I was a kid, I mean, it was obviously a much larger population in those days. And that's led to an overabundance of housing stock, much of which is abandoned and in pretty bad shape in a lot of neighborhoods in Dayton. How are you going to address that as mayor?
Well, you know, as commissioner, I've been on the commission for 8 years.
Right.
The work that we did was really partnering with Jim Rakakis, who used to be the treasurer of Cuyahoga County and is now runs a nonprofit that works on legacy cities issues with excess housing that, you know, is older. You know, over half of our housing stock, not only do we have excess housing, but it was also, you know, over half of it was built before 1960. So it's also not that, you know, that it's that 1940s to 1960s era that was built really quickly and isn't of really good quality in some cases. Now, some of our houses are, you know, beautiful and have great historic character, and we work to save those. So we really, you know, have been aggressive about trying to receive both federal and state dollars. You know, the Move Ohio Forward money from the Attorney General's office has been key for us, as well as the stimulus we've used to really position our housing stock and really change the way we were looking at it. When I got on the commission, most people were saying, oh, we're just going to mothball it, save it, and the people will come back. And it's like, well, even if they came back, they wouldn't want this piece of property. So we've had some great success. And really what we're seeing now, which I think is showing the turn, is we still have some more demolition to do. And I think it's, you know, you have to do it every year. The city of Akron is one of the few cities in the state that really started in the 90s spending about $1 million a year taking down property that was, you know, was vacant and abandoned, and they didn't have nearly the problem that some of the other cities in Ohio had because of that. And we have to continually do that, but we're seeing people wanting to rehab, you know, the more quality housing stock that's vacant, and seeing people take control of their neighborhoods. And so that's been a big flip from 4 years ago, where we would offer properties and they'd be mostly just ones that would be on empty lot, and now we're seeing people wanting to take properties that have been abandoned to rehab, and so that's a pretty exciting move.
What about downtown housing? I understand there's been some developments there in recent years.
Yes. It's, you know, downtown housing is really strong. It's at 97% occupancy, you know, on average. We have a goal. We have a greater downtown plan that really talks about how we can use you know, in addition to Wright-Patterson, which, you know, is a you know, the largest single-site employer, most of the people in the region, around, you know, 40,000, work in the greater downtown area. So we still have a large downtown core. So we've worked to, you know, really transition some of our stock, and similar to Cincinnati, but not nearly the scale as Cincinnati, of moving that to, you know, to housing stock that we can rent or people can own. We have a new development that's coming on. The commission just approved last week. That's around $33.5 million. That's office and housing right on the river, which we use our river as a place to really generate excitement and interest. And across the street from the Dragons baseball stadium, which you may know, Howard, has the longest sellout record of any professional sports in the country.
Been there many times.
And we like to see the Reds players before they get to the Reds. See, that's one of the things that's great about Dayton too. So we're really pleased about that. And then we've also had some really good news this past week about our fairgrounds, which people have been talking about since the 1890s, that it needs to move. And the fair board just 2 days ago announced that they will be moving. And so there's a great opportunity for development there around UD. So we're really excited. I think some of the things that are happening in the downtown and greater downtown core, we're starting to see that real excitement. And, you know, we're not as expensive as the bigger cities, but we still have an urban flavor, and we're very walkable and easy to get around. And the cost of living in Dayton is about the best in the nation. So there's great opportunities. And as you look at Cincinnati, Cincinnati is one of our assets as well, because a lot of people that live in the Dayton area, one of their family members may work in Dayton, but another family member will work in Cincinnati too. And so we're seeing that a lot more of really becoming really an Uber region.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking with Dayton, Ohio Mayor-elect Nan Whaley. If you have a question, 513-419-7100 or talk at WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100.
You mentioned Riverscape and the Dragons and you know what they have done. They've really transformed that northern end of downtown Dayton. I mean, it looks almost like what happened with Coors Field in Denver. You took an old warehouse district and turned it into kind of a place to live and have entertainment and that sort of thing.
Right. And, you know, we've also used it, there's the Dragon Stadium, Riverscape along the river, this new Water Street development that's coming on, and then another office. It's probably the best office space in the whole downtown. That's, you know, the larger floor plates and the kind of thing that people want in new office space. And then, you know, as you go head east along it, you know, you have Tech Town as well, which was the old Harrison Radiator site. It was an enormous eyesore, a huge blight right east of downtown, you know, really almost in downtown. And we've taken that and redone it through Tech Town. And one of the things I think that's very, I think it's something special about Dayton is, you know, number one, Dayton loves people that aren't from Dayton. They're very open. You know, I'm not from here. None of the people running for mayor are from Dayton. So I think that's an interesting thing about our community. And then also, Tech Town is a project that actually started with Congressman Mike Turner. So we'll be going on like around the fourth or fifth mayoral administration. And we have all continued to invest in that. You know, it used to be called Tool Town, but the tool and die industry changed. And so it was, you know, changed into Tech Town. And the way that the city is malleable to ideas and really brings the community together through a partnership. We don't really do anything alone, and so you see that a lot in Dayton, that initiatives go past administrations.
Before you joined us on the program, we were talking about the streetcar project here in Cincinnati, and supporters of that project say it's a way to attract economic development to the downtown and the urban core. While you may not be developing a streetcar in Dayton, do you have anything similar, like something like that, some sort of mega economic development project to attract people to the urban core?
Well, certainly. I mean, we've like I've talked about Water Street. We've believed in doing what we call incremental development. We follow the study that LaVia Brockman from Greater Ohio has put together on legacy cities and how you really have to use incremental development, because we don't have the sort of resources that other, you know, larger cities have. We're a mid-sized city in the Midwest. And so we've done that strategy, and it's worked out pretty well for us. There is discussion, though, about, and it continues to happen, about bus rapid transit. We've gone to Cleveland to look at how buses can be used to create density and use transportation. As a development driver, there's no doubt that that's the case. And one of the things that we like about BRT is that it's movable, right? So we respect the idea that, you know, we don't know what the core is going to look like in 20 or 30 years, and so studying BRT and making it to be more malleable is something that we've discussed. It's very in the infancy stages, and, you know, it's something that we could move and change in partnerships with our transit association.
What about Dayton International Airport? I mean, there are a lot of people in Cincinnati who have gone there over
the years. I thought it was the Cincinnati Airport.
Well, it has been for me. I can, you know, I've taken a lot of flights out of there because they were cheaper.
Right. We're happy about that, Howard. But, thank you.
But as a tool for economic development, how is it working?
Oh, you know, it's going really well. You know, the city runs the airport as well, and it's one of my favorite pieces of being on the commission and being mayor-elect, because you really have an opportunity to use transportation for development. Now, what happened when Emory was bought by UPS, you know, UPS already has a hub in Lovell, so they closed the facility there that was, we've been using it for, you know, economic development for years. And so we've recently repositioned that and have new jobs coming into that older facility. So that's exciting. And then we also have, you know, the airport sits right on 70 and 75. And so that's a great opportunity for us to really compete on logistics and distribution by using the airport and the 70 and 75 corridors. And so we have some really good work happening along there. We're repositioning some and putting some new buildings up. And so we're seeing that the logistics hub model at 7075 is a great asset for us. So we're hoping to create jobs in that way too. And those are decent jobs for our folks. We're excited about that. And we think that we can have a nice corridor that really competes with some of our friends in Indiana on that.
And you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you know, you have the Welcome Dayton initiative. Mm-hmm. And Tim Reardon was on our show and talked about it to a certain extent. Tell us about that. I mean, you welcome immigrants to the city of Dayton, and are they becoming part of the community, and what kind of jobs are they ended up finding?
Right. So we, the Welcome Dayton initiative came together, I think, in a really great way, in two spaces. First, you know, we got the Hispanic community in the city came to us and said, you know, we're being pulled over with, you know, not doing anything wrong and then being deported, and we want you to do something about that. So there was that side of, you know, if you're, you know, driving while Hispanic issues, mm-hmm. that we were dealing with. And then we also had a group of Turkish refugees from Georgia. Like, they were Turkish, but when Georgia became part of Russia, they started to perform genocide on these Turkish Muslims, and so they came over to the United States. And actually, they came to Wyoming first. They were truck drivers for Honeywell, and they came across Dayton because of the corridor again, found inexpensive housing, and started moving here in large numbers. And plus, they also noticed we were really friendly, and this was right around the time we were starting to do Welcome Dayton. So all of these pieces came together, and it's been just a real fantastic initiative for us. Number one, I think it's part of what Dayton is about. We view ourselves as progressive, and part of one of the progressive nuggets in Southwest Ohio. And so the immigrant-friendly notion that we're an opening community and we believe that people should move here regardless of where they come from, that actually that allows, you know, more, it really actually makes our community stronger, we believe, was something that really fit with what we believe as a community. It was one of my favorite days on commission, actually, when we passed it. We do two readings each week. And the first week, these folks came down from Michigan and came down and talked about how terrible this was. We were passing this immigrant-friendly, which, you know, about 100 people in the community came together and volunteered to write the policy. And so, you know, the commissioners said, oh, well, this is too bad. We've, you know, accidentally hit a national chord. We didn't really mean to, but we're still going to pass it because, you know, our community really wants it. And these people were from out of town, but we're expecting lots of people from out of town. The next week, we had 12 speakers, you know, all from inside the city of Dayton, and all people that said, this is really important for us. We really want you to pass this. And I think that said, you know, says a lot to why I love Dayton so much. You know, it's a very open community. It welcomes people. And we've also found that this is an opportunity for us to do EB-5 grants, which allows, you know, investment in our community. And we've gotten a lot of national attention from, you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce naming Dayton one of the 7 most enterprising cities in the country. And then, obviously, you know, I don't know if you saw Tim on Comedy Central as the straight man, but we enjoyed, you know, yeah, watching Tim on Comedy Central, too. So we've gotten all kinds of really positive feedback for what we want to portray our community as an open community that we believe it is.
And you suggested that incentives be created for city employees to learn another language?
Yeah, that's part of the plan. They're starting to do that, you know, really in training and development. And, you know, as we just continue to train our staff, that's one of the pieces that Tim has really worked to do. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we recognize that our citizens, you know, and people living in the city of Dayton are coming from all over. And so we want to be being able to communicate them well. You know, somebody living in Dayton that's not speaking to the police or not speaking to the city isn't someone that's really can really help our neighborhood. So that's really something that we're trying to do, and it's been really successful.
And what kind of incentives are you talking about?
Well, I think he's worked it out. You know, it's more like when they do their step increases and pay increases, it's part of the things that they can do to be promoted, and part of like his the way he's setting up the pay and the mid managers specifically, and also among customer service reps. So it's starting to be embedded in the culture of City Hall that's one of the actions to move forward.
You know, one of the things I've noticed, and I've been in Cincinnati now since 1982, is this city has very clearly defined neighborhoods.
It does.
52 of them altogether. Dayton was never quite like that. I mean, I never thought of myself as living in, I guess technically I lived in Omer Park, but nobody ever called it that.
Right.
And I know you're interested in you know, the neighborhood structures and neighborhood boundaries. What can you do about that?
Well, I think that is one of the great advantages Cincinnati has, is having these unique neighborhoods. And then that, you're right, we call big swaths of East Dayton Belmont, and I live in Five Oaks, but everyone calls the whole area Frock. And Southwest Dayton, because the density's been low, is basically Southwest Dayton now. So we're in the process now of doing a redo of citizen engagement, because it's more about, for us, how do we engage people to see themselves as part of Dayton and part of their neighborhood, and how do we really make sure that they care about their neighborhood, that they're interested in it, and that they have a say to speak what's important to them about their, not only their city, but their state and country. So we're in the process of doing that. We have a system now that was built in 1972 called the Priority Boards. It was during the Model Cities. It was heavily federally funded, and we've kept that system in place with really little dollars. And so I don't think we're getting the most bang for our buck when we talk about engaging the folks. And most of, a lot of the city is now more high poverty, so it takes a lot more work to engage because people are pretty darn busy just living. So that's the challenge we have, and the neighborhood discussion is a piece of that. Now, in the 80s, they kind of followed Cincinnati, where they did, like I said, they named different neighborhoods. But, in some places it took, and in other places it didn't. And so I think it's really important that we talk to the community about, and those neighborhoods, about how they see their future and what they want to, define their future as.
You mentioned in an earlier answer, in some situations you have couples where one person will work in Dayton, one person will work in Cincinnati.
Sure.
And I know I've covered Cincinnati off and on for 20-plus years, and there was always this idea of, like, merging metro areas, merging greater Cincinnati, greater Dayton, not necessarily – I mean, you would keep your independence, but
right.
For things like transportation grants and dealing with the federal government, it could be one large metro area. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's something we really need to consider and look into, and I think there's opportunities for both Cincinnati and Dayton to work together. You look at what Cleveland and Akron have done in that effort, because a lot of our economies and the economics of the two cities are coming together more and more. So I think it's really key, and if we don't talk about it, it's happening anyway. And so I think it's better to be conscious about it, about the two cities and what Southwest Ohio wants, and really the city's coming together to discuss that. Also, as an Ohioan, a lot of your growth heads west into Kentucky, and I would prefer it to stay in Ohio and head north. And so I think there's an advantage for the state to encourage that effort as well. And then you look at what the federal government is doing. They are encouraging that. From Dallas-Fort Worth, they've encouraged, regional conversations that are of Uber regions, and it just fits. While Cincinnati and Dayton are very different, and I think that's one of the advantages, the economics of it just work, that a lot of people that do business in Cincinnati also do business in Dayton and vice versa. And we have different assets that can be useful to both communities, from us with Wright-Patterson and a heavier manufacturing to some of the great companies you have in Cincinnati. I think there's just a natural fit that we could really start talking about and working on.
And just real quickly, the NCAA tournament,
yeah.
The play-in, is that ever going to be a permanent thing at UD?
Well, we continue to work on it, and we've been talking to the NCAA in Indianapolis about it. And we were really close at one point, and then they changed their leadership in basketball. So we are very aggressive about it. We think it's a great, opportunity for the community. And you know, this town is really about basketball. I think, as a Hoosier,
we're going to have to leave it right there. We're out of time. Dayton, Ohio Mayor-elect Nan Whaley, who will be taking office next month. She was with us on the phone from Dayton. Mayor-elect Whaley, thanks for joining us. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.